table of weights and measures. We'll go back a few pages. The accountants in the house were like, yay, that's going to be awesome. You can meet me afterwards. We can pray for you. Where's this from? Okay. I want fingers on the buzzers now. 30,000 faith in a ray. Okay. This is like serious. Like, raise your hand. I want to see who's on the ball tonight. Who's awake? Adrian! Thank you. Robbie. Good stuff. When you think of Rocky, what's the first pictures that come to mind? Steps, okay. And a hoodie, okay. More pictures, what's... He can't see through his eye. Okay. Yeah, some epic battles there. You've got to say, he's a never say die kind of guy. You know what I mean? It reminds me of that joke. I might have told before, I don't know. This boxer, Johnny from Kempton, he's in the ring against Dubrovnik, and he's getting pummeled. First round, second round. His coach keeps telling him when he comes back to the corner, "You're doing great, Johnny. You're doing great, man. The guy's not laying a finger on you." After the third round, and Johnny is suffering, he says, "Coach, then you better watch the ref because someone is hitting me very hard." So, Rocky was hit very hard, but he's a never say die guy. You know, you would say there's no chance. This is impossible. This can only be in the movies. I mean, he can't even see. And he's just standing there taking, he doesn't know how to defend. Now, if you're going to make it in boxing, you need to learn how to defend. But anyway, so he's a guy that in my books, you know, as far as movies go and so on, he epitomizes something of that indomitable spirit of endurance, perseverance. And if we look at our first scripture tonight, Hebrews 12, we had a glance at this, the first two verses of Hebrews 12 a week or two ago. But I just want to put a spotlight on something else tonight. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Other translations say endurance. And we've mentioned this before, but the fact that every one of us has a race lying before us, whether we like it or not, there's a race marked out for you. It's not just for a select few athletes. It's not the Olympics. This is life. We're all in this race, and the battle determined by whether you finish the race or not is for your soul. And so there's two contenders, only one really, but the decision's up to us which side we choose. We have an enemy, but then we have a lover of our souls in Jesus. But it's a race that's going to require perseverance. Rocky style. We're going to take some punches in life. There's that expression, roll with the punches. Just keep going. There's going to be times that you want to give up, that you want to throw in the towel, that you want your coach to throw in the towel. You just want out. You turn your back on life and God and everything. You can't do it anymore. And I want to tell you tonight, if you're experiencing that, well, maybe one day you will experience that, or you'll come across people, many people that are experiencing that. Be encouraged and know this. You do not need to throw in the towel. And let us not be of the people that will throw in the towel. We don't give up. We'll finish this race. It's a long race. You're going to require endurance. It's going to be tough. You're going to have to dig deep. And so a bit of a metaphor, but it's applicable to every aspect of your life. I'm talking also specifically about your relational journey with God, your faith walk in this life. There's going to be times where you want to throw in the towel, where you just don't feel less. Now, I want to tell you, I mean, the writer there says there's a great cloud of witnesses talking of the faith, the great men and women of faith that have gone before of the Old Testament. And that somehow they're keeping an eye. But you, more than that, you got to know that God is always with us, and He sees what we're doing. He sees the choices we make. He's there. But He's not just an ornament or a souvenir. He's not a nice to have. He's not a God in a box. He's willing and He's able. He wants to help you through those challenges. He wants to help to make sure you get to the finish line. The writer here is telling us, no matter what it takes, make sure you finish the race. You need endurance. Make sure you finish the race. That is what it's about. It's going to take digging deep. It's going to take pacing yourself. But what's more important than starting the race, because we have all started the race, we've all begun running. What's more important than how you start is how you finish. And I pray that we'll be a people that finishes strong. As I mentioned earlier when I said, I mentioned of our Friday night that we're going to come together. Anyone who's around, please join us. And I've had it on my heart as soon as the Lord started laying on my heart, you know, our season here is about to end, and He's got the next place lined up for us, that we will finish strong. We're in this area for a reason, and we have been here for a reason, and I've connected with quite a few people, and some people downstairs, some of the patrons and the owners and so on. And we've had some very good conversations, and you know, people that have, I can't say for sure if there's been anyone that has committed their lives to the Lord, but definitely very good seed that has been sown. But I want to finish strong. Now we know when our next season is about to start. I want to finish this one strong. This is why Friday night we're going to pray a bit, and we're going to go down. There's always people late on a Friday night and Saturday night. I mean, I've been here late when we've done some courses and whatever, or catching up on admin, that kind of thing. And, you know, it's quite hard to focus with the loud music like coming from downstairs and the floor vibrating and whatever. But on my way out, inevitably I have a run in with some people hanging around outside. And then I always ask, thinking it's some kind of a secret club upstairs, you know, what's up there? And then I tell them about the church and everything. And it's amazing, you know, we live kind of in a nominal Christian society to a large extent. And so a lot of people know a little bit about God. And then, especially if you had a few toots, then they'll start talking about God and what they know about God and maybe how angry they are at God, which is oftentimes contributing to the reason they're downstairs tonight and not upstairs. And you'd have some interesting conversations and some names being called and stuff. Not me doing the name calling. But, you know, I've proven myself not to be a hypocrite when I've invited people to church and then he says, yeah, but, you know, I'll never go there with you because you'll never come in here with me and whatever. And I've gone in and ordered two glasses of water and sat down with a guy, and he got such a fright that I followed him in there. But yeah, we had some good conversations. Not the type of place you want to hang out. But God has called us to be fishers of men. Nevertheless, I want to finish strong over here. You know, we've spent a lot of time praying for the people in this area. We've done mercy ministry on the streets in this area. And how you finish one season is how you enter the next season. It's about leaving a testimony. I pray that there will be people downstairs that will miss us when we're gone and that will come looking for us. And we'll certainly leave our details and so on so that people can find us. We're not trying to run away from anyone, but we're trying to reach the people that God has first and foremost on His heart for us at this time as a focus point. But Jesus died for the whosoever. And there's a lot of people maybe close by that qualify in that category for us here tonight, the whosoever's. And oftentimes those are the people you have to go and find. It takes a bit of extra work and labor to win them for the Lord. And so we've spent a lot of time in prayer. But as I said, we'll continue on Friday night, and then we'll take some time out also to go and see what divine appointments the Lord has lined up for us. And it's actually amazing that sometimes you don't get a good response, other times you do. We've even had a girl in our small group the last 2 weeks, that a girl who's a patron downstairs that we met outside, and she's been coming to our small group, and yeah, she's been in church as well. So praise God for that. Run the race with endurance. You know, I want to encourage you as well. We believe in the whole Word of God. And there is actually a scripture that says that exercise is profitable. Not as much as your relationship with the Lord or your spirituality, but the body, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to look after. We need to be good stewards. And I want to encourage you, we're still at the start of the year. There's new gyms being built all around. Beautiful to go for a jog along the beachfront or for a cycle with Philip and Johan. You can do these things. Look after your bodies as well. Let's get exercising. It's good. It's good for your emotions, and it's also good for your spirit, man. Brings in a measure of discipline. It looks good on your CV as well if you've got some maybe sporting achievements or endurance competitions that you've entered in. I know my father always said it was good when I got interested in triathlon and so on. He said, you know, it's also good for your CV. Your prospective employer sees that you, someone that can, obviously, you can do a endurance event and you finish it. And that speaks something of that perseverance, which is a godly character trait. And people look for that as well. So I want to encourage you to do that. Let's get balanced. And you'll learn things about yourself, and God will teach you things that you wouldn't maybe otherwise learn or easily learn. I don't even know where my Ironman certificate is tonight, but I know what I learned from God on that day. And I know which scripture as well kept me going until the end, when I had ample opportunity to throw in the towel, because you passed the start finish like 7 times during the day. And the race took almost 15 hours for me. It was a long day. I started cramping every muscle in my body halfway through the race already. By lunchtime, I was already tickets. And God, and in the afternoon, there were ladies pushing their prams passing me. It was embarrassing at times, but I kept going. And I want to tell you, it is that endurance that will stand you in good stead in your relationship with the Lord as well, when things get tough. What did Jesus say to Peter? He said, don't let your faith fail you at this time. Sometimes we go through tough challenges, and we have to strengthen ourselves in the Lord like David. And I want to say, you must say to yourself, mustn't let my faith fail me at this time. Stay strong in my faith. Stir up that faith that you have in you. Press into God. Just declare God's attributes and His promises and His goodness toward you. God, I know you are here with me. God, I know you are good. God, I know because I love you and I've been called according to your purpose, you will turn this around for my good. God, you love me. You've never changed your heart towards me. You have not forgotten me. These kind of promises you declare over and over in that time of crying before the Lord that we spoke about. And God does amazing work of lifting you up out of no matter how deep or dark that pit may be. I'm going to continue to the next verse. This is how we make it. As I said, there was a scripture that took me through that endurance challenge. And that was just a one-day affair. In my life, I've had many other challenges that have lasted for weeks and months and years. But keeping my eyes on Jesus is keeping me in the race. And I want to say that is our only... that is our only solace, that is our only hope, is keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the one who started it all, and the perfecter, the finisher of your faith, the one who will get you to the finish. He's committed to getting you to the end. Even if our faith fails us at times, but we manage to pick ourselves back up, Jesus is the one who's going to get us to the finish line. He's also our greatest example in enduring the toughest of challenges and missions. And this is what kept him going, the joy that was set before him. Knowing that he's establishing once more the rule and reign of Jesus Christ, God's kingdom in our lives. He was thinking of us as he went up to the cross, scorning its shame. It's the most shameful death you could die, being crucified. They say that that is the symbol of shame, is to be hung on a tree, crucified on that, on those beams of wood. Now he's sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's not a baby in a manger. He's not a carcass on a cross. He's not a corpse in a tomb. He's risen. He's ascended. And he's seated at the right hand of God. And that imagery speaks of the fact that the work is finished. It's completed. What Jesus came to do at the cross, Jesus' mission here on earth was completed and finished. Mission accomplished. He's sitting down. If you're still standing, you still have work to do. In the Jewish culture, if you're sitting down, your work is done. Jesus' work is completed, is finished. He didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law on our behalf so that we can go free. People, life is hard, but God is good. Life was easy at one time before the fall. Might even have been on the first day already, or the second day when Adam and Eve fell. They had it easy up to that point. They had one requirement in order to show their love for God. All God wanted was company. He wanted a friend. He doesn't need us to exist. He wants us. He loves us. He wants to be with us. And they disobeyed. And from that moment, life got hard. Toil, thorns, thistles, things biting you, women in painful labor. Sam, can I have an amen? Yeah, Sam knows what I'm talking about. Life is hard, but God is good. Jesus did it all for us at the cross. He finished the work. Let's look at James 1, verse 2 to 4. Consider it pure joy, not the fruit juice. Talking about real joy. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, okay, there's going to be a lot coming your way. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Endurance, perseverance, this is a good thing. It's a good thing to have. We need it. We need it in this life that is preparation for an eternity. We need endurance. It only comes by one way. And that is through suffering, through going through sufferings. Now, James says that it's something to rejoice about because of the perseverance that is going to come. Because it's going to stand us in good stead. In the modern day slang, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. In Christianese, even if it kills you, you go into heaven, so who cares? Go through it. Hamadir al is het seer. Nee? Oom Philip, wat oom Linus altijd vir my gesê het, toe ons nou fiets ry daar, en jy moet jou beerd voorvat. Hamadir al is het seer. Jesus promised suffering, and he went through it. He's our king. Who are we to think we're exempt from that? There will be suffering. But look on the bright side. What is a bit of earthly discomfort or even pain compared to an eternity with our God? You need the fruit of that. You need the perseverance and the maturity, the character that comes by no other means. You need that. So rejoice. Hello. Thank you. My time has come to grow. Praise God. You know, we need to start getting a bit anxious, maybe even, although the Bible says do not be anxious for anything. But I would almost say you want to get a little bit anxious if there's nothing, if there's no challenges around, if there's no trials or tribulations. Because then what are we going to count as pure joy? Then you must go and buy the fruit juice and get the big pure joy. No, we want real joy. Rejoice. It says in the Bible more than once. Rejoice when you face tribulations. It is blessed to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. Now I want to tell you tonight, it's about making a paradigm shift. It's about establishing a mindset that I'm going to finish. I'm going to finish this race. I'm prioritizing. I'm reorganizing. God comes first. My faith journey with God comes first, and I'm going to finish this. I'm not going to bail out. There's no turning back. There's no looking back. The world has nothing to offer me. Jesus is all I want. I'm not going to throw in the towel when it gets tough. We've still got to get out of jail free card in South Africa. It might not be like that forever or for very long when it comes to our faith. A lot of other places in the world, not so easy. More martyrs in the last 100 years than the previous 1,900 years put together. It's really tough out there. We had a mission team in Pakistan last week. They had a pastor's summit, got pastors, about 1,000 pastors from all over Pakistan together in Karachi. And it's volatile over there. You know, the Muslims are militant. And quite a few of the pastors, CS and them, know very well, and they get death threats on a continuous basis. I mean, they have to have church at undisclosed locations, and they've counted the cost. They're aware, but they're not throwing in the towel. That's when you really start praising God, because you've made your mind up. And I'm not going to play games with God, because it's not worth it. If I'm playing games, I might as well leave this, because this could cost my life. If I'm associated with these people, I can die. So the people that are worshiping there are serious and they're passionate. And they put God first, and they are very well aware that they might lose their lives for it. But that doesn't matter, because they know where they're going. They've made their minds up. We don't have much time here either. The time for playing games with God is over long ago. It's actually never been there. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. We need to finish the race. You know, my father taught me something that, you know, when you've heard these wise words or something that's just resonated, it's kind of buried deep in your heart. And it kind of echoes every time you think of doing something contrary to that, those words of your father, whoever mentioned it to you, it echoes in your mind. And, you know, my father taught me to finish what I've started. I remember hearing his voice raking the leaves in our back garden. I think maybe I gathered together about 10 black bags full of plane tree leaves. But there was about another 20 to be done. But I'm like proud of these 10 bags. Pa, can I go now? I've done 10 bags. It's like, no, bro, that's 50%. Finish what you've started. I'll always remember that lesson and making sure I finish what I started. And I want to say to you tonight, let's finish this race. Let's finish strong. Let's leave a testimony. What do you want people to say about you after you've gone? The epitaph on your tombstone. the words in your obituary? What do you want them to say about you? What do you want them to say about you when you leave the one company and move to another company? What do you want your neighbors to say about you when you move to another part of town? Hopefully only good things. We only want people to say good things. Hopefully there's something about God in what they're saying. Let us finish strong. Let us leave a testimony. Everything about you says something about you. Luke 14, verse 28, our last scripture. Jesus was our greatest example of endurance, and this is one parable that he spoke to his disciples, talking to them about the cost of discipleship. He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower, like this one in Beachfront, this hotel. What make is it? Something or other. Rob, you live behind the thing. Fastanya, Radisson. Suppose you want to build the Radisson. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? Ne? Hey, how long has that thing been standing there? 2 years, dormant. For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you. Now the builders aren't there that we can go and ridicule them, but that's what should happen. It's biblical. I'm ridiculing you. Saying this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Okay. I'm sure the people in the houses behind the unfinished Radisson are especially fuming. Because first they come and erect this thing and no one's even living in there. The rats that are in there have a better view than what they have. Woo! Tough words, bro. It's biblical. We need to purpose in our hearts tonight that we're going to finish what we've started. That we're going to allow God to finish what He has begun in us. Because He's fully committed to doing that. If it's up to Him, He will finish the work He began in us. It does demand a smidge of our cooperation. We can turn our back on God. If we don't, God will finish it. I'm encouraging you tonight not to ever throw in the towel. And so, I'm talking about the big picture, but also, I don't know what challenges you're facing now. Don't throw in the towel. Think of your testimony. Think of the name of Jesus Christ. Are we bringing glory to His name? Are we doing it harm? That is all important. It's not about our name, it's about Jesus, the name of Jesus. So I'd like us to stand together as we just pray into this. And just stand with me, and whatever challenge you might be facing now, I just want you to consider that for a moment. With everything in life, there's an easy way out. There is an easy way out with everything. And then there's God's way, which is more often than not the difficult way, the narrow way. Now, I want to challenge you to trust God and walk that narrow way, to take the difficult road. And He will show Himself faithful. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for the scriptures, Lord God, that strength to our flesh and health to our bones. Thank You, Lord, that You're watching over Your word. We ask that tonight our hearts would be receptive. Lord, that You would do a work in us here and now. Lord, You know our lives. You know what's waiting for us. You have a purpose for us. You know the end from the beginning. You know, maybe of the times, Lord, if that we might consider giving up. You know of those times. You know when it's going to get so tough for us that we might even consider throwing in the towel. But Lord, we ask you tonight to safeguard us against any such thoughts, that we'd immediately discern the enemy's lies who would have us throw in the towel. Lord, that we'd purpose in our hearts now, tonight, that we'll settle it and establish it in our minds, that we are of such that we'll never turn back, that we'll never give up, that we'll never surrender, that we will know that we are victorious in Christ Jesus, and that no one and nothing can take you from us, Lord. Even if our lives are lost in the process, no one can take you away from us. You will always be with us. And we are looking forward to being with you for an eternity. And Lord, so we know the tough times and the challenges that come our way. We know they serve as opportunities to bring about endurance and character, maturity. We pray, Lord, that we will seize those opportunities and that we would grow, Lord. It's our desire to be where you want us to be. That's going to demand growth. We pray, Lord, that this year will be a year of growth, that we can look back and say, but I'm not the same person as I was in January. Help us to rejoice in times of trial. Help us to set an example like you did, Lord, embracing God's will for our lives. Lord, we thank you that you went to the cross for us. Thank you, Lord, for persevering when you were sweating blood in Gethsemane, saying, Lord, is there another way? But nevertheless, your will be done. Refusing to surrender or to give up. Thank you, Lord, that you remain steadfast and determined. We ask, Lord, that we can follow you in that example, Lord. The world today that is revolved around getting more and more comfortable, building your own palace, they need to see a people that can do tough things and keep smiling. They need to see a people that can endure challenges and yet praise the Lord. I pray, Lord, that we'll be such people. I just want to give you an opportunity to share with the Lord just there where you are. Just bring before him those few challenges that might be at the top of your mind at the moment and say, Lord, here I am. I know it's going to be tough, but I know you will carry me through this, even as I've been encouraged tonight. But Lord, I determine tonight, I purpose not to give up, not to take an easy way out. Lord, lead me in this. Help me. Strengthen me. You just bring that before the Lord. I'll give you a little while. You bring that challenge, whatever it is, you bring that before him.